D-Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. And we are proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, joined as we are every Wednesday at noon by our friend Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on OutKick. So Hutton, your partner in crime the other day, Chad Withrow, had a take about how the Titans framed their decision to cancel their private workout with Shedeur Sanders. And for those of you who missed it, Jim Wyatt tweeted it out and at the end said, quote, "The Titans have seen 4 years of game film, scouted multiple games, and have now attended a pro day they described as very impressive." Do you share Chad's, what's the word I'm looking for? Consternation, perhaps, regarding the way that this has been framed?
I love the Vinken vocabulary, by the way.
I also like alliteration. Chad's consternation.
Good to be with you guys. Look, Chad's not wrong here. Also, this is the Titans' way of saying, don't worry about the private workout. We didn't even bring our head coach to the pro day. Reading into it, if you are an NFL franchise and you're about to draft your franchise quarterback, if you love a quarterback, you want to spend as much as you possibly can on the time window that you have with that player, especially a quarterback, especially with the number one pick. So with all of that in mind, they've exhausted all of their time that they can. I think they can Zoom, but all of the time that they can in person with Cam Ward. They chose not to do that with Shedeur Sanders. There's no reason to try to fake out everybody and not spend time with the player that you are allocated if you're the Tennessee Titans, turning over every stone to make sure you know the player, you get to know the player. You can watch all the film in the world. All I hear about at the combine is you want to be there on the field to see the ball come off the hand. The play caller for the offense was not at the pro day. That's really all that needed to be said.
We are going to talk about this a little bit later, but I want to get your opinion on it as well. So Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated, he wrote this. I believe he also said it on his podcast, that it would take a quote-unquote historic offer to move the Titans to trade the number one overall pick and pass on Cam Ward. In your mind, what would constitute an historic offer for the number one pick?
Future first-round picks, plural. And historic for Amy Adams Strunk to be patient if you make that trade, because other people will be making those selections if not. So that's important to note here. It, along with the trade, has to come patience from ownership. Beyond that, I don't know what historic means from this angle. Historic for Cleveland at number two to move up one spot, or historic meaning a team like Pittsburgh at 21 is just unloading the bank to move up all the way to number one. I need to know the context there. And I think they're throwing that out because we heard that last year with the historic offers that were reported that the Giants were making to try to move up and draft Drake May. If you know the quarterback is your guy, I don't think there's an offer that you want to absolutely consider. Consider what Cincinnati did. They turned down a boatload of future first-round picks for that Joe Burrow spot. I mean, they knew they had their guy. If it's true that they're still begging for a big-time offer, to me, that means the other teams are probably thinking the same thing that the Titans are. This quarterback group is good, not great.
But I don't even think it's the quarterback group. I just think it's the group
the
as
draft.
A whole. Yeah, the draft as a whole. Because
I mean, Mace, you're right. We've been talking about four players really the entire time.
Yeah,
that's it.
And you can't have a draft that can be potentially littered with potential moves at the top if the talent isn't robust at the top, and it's not. So when you look at this, and I think this is where I'm trying to figure this out, and because if Titan fans or anyone else out there believe that Cam Ward isn't worthy of the number one pick, because he wouldn't have been worthy of a top five pick or a top three pick last year or the year before that because of the quarterbacks and some of the other guys outside of it. What makes you think the guys behind him would have been even higher? I beg to argue that there would only be one person in the top possibly five, and that's Hunter. Anybody else, and that's the stretch in the last 2 years, but anybody else, I don't think you're talking about them as a potential number one pick. So if that's the case, I don't get the don't draft Cam, move out, because even if you were trying to move out, everybody else knows that this draft isn't robust, so why do I need to move up?
Well, it basically it comes down to there's the draft and there's the quarterback draft.
Yeah.
And some teams are extra desperate. Look, the player I would want is Travis Hunter, personally, in this draft. It's not a great quarterback class. You mentioned the players in general. Mm-hmm. J.C. Latham would be the number one tackle again in this draft. Like that, take that into consideration. Like there's that topic too. That we could see upwards of 10 pass rushers. I'm counting defensive tackle in this 10 plus in the first round. This is a defensive first round coming up. That from the quarterback perspective, are you going to spin the haul, or are we going to see like the Kenny Pickett year where Pickett went 20th to Pittsburgh and that was the only first round quarterback we saw? I Mace, it's peculiar because the coverage of the draft is very cyclical. It starts in November or so, and that's where everybody was talking about how this is a terrible quarterback class. And now all of a sudden, Mel Kiper's hyping up Shedeur Sanders as his top player. We've got Cam Ward, who's unequivocally worthy of a number one pick. I mean, it's very back to promoting the show that is the NFL draft for the National Football League. And we've done this, as a collective media and fan base, with four players being discussed this year. That's crazy to me. Yeah, it's Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, Cam Ward, and Shedeur Sanders. And, that's really it. You don't hear much debate about anything else. Even the Tech McMillan comment about how he doesn't even like football or like watching football on TV.
That was crazy.
That went under the radar in this draft coverage. It's crazy. And it's not even being dominated by Shedeur Sanders. It's been dominated really by Cleveland and New York holding those two of the top three picks behind the Titans. The Titans aren't even getting much discussion from what I've watched, because everyone knows they're going Cam Ward in all these mocks. I think that's a foregone conclusion, because they're not going to get a deal that's just going to blow their socks off. And if you need the quarterback, you don't wait on the quarterback. You take the quarterback. I understand that line of thinking. But if you knew in December that this was not the year for the quarterback group, and it was reported, I believe, that the Titans weren't really high on this quarterback class. Mm-hmm. Well, as they started to get around Cam Ward, it was around the combine, right before free agency, that they really, they really got a hold of the path they wanted to go, which seems to be the rookie path. There's just no way that this regime can't start developing a quarterback right now, because they were supposed to start that last year with Will Levis.
Well, with that being said, and you're right, they need to draft a guy that they can develop and make their franchise quarterback. But when you say that, the first thing people say is, well, they don't have a team, strong enough to develop a young quarterback at this time. Well, I would tend to say, or they're not doing anything to help the young quarterback out. Well, I would beg to differ, because to me, they are. They went out and got Moore. They went out and got Zeitler. You're talking about revamping or moving around an offensive line to try to make it a place for the new quarterback can sit in the pocket and deliver the football and play quarterback the way it needs to be played. So when people say, well, they're not doing anything, yes, they are. They're beefing up the one thing they need to beef up in order for the quarterback to have some sort of success in development, and that's the offensive line.
I totally agree. They're going to be very young at wide receiver, it looks like. Their pick in the second round is going to be a valuable pick to move back on if they want to. They can gain more picks and more draft capital that way. I still think there's an opportunity there for teams to want to move up and chase runs on players on day two. They can still take the quarterback at number one and end up with, there's a group of about, 50 or so players right in the heart of the middle of the first round to the third, start of the third, where everyone's kind of graded right there at the same number or same level. That's good for the Titans. You can move back and still get the same type of value on your board. And this team has a ton of holes. They need more picks than what they have. That's the pick that I would move because they don't have a third rounder. It is a long wait from their second round pick to their fourth round pick.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. And Hutton, you read my mind because I was going to ask you the percentage chance that they end up with either a third round pick or an extra second. And that is a thought that I really didn't comprehend. But when you're at the top of the second round, right, and everybody takes a break after that first night, and everybody recalibrates and looks around who's left, that you're right. That might be the pick where they are able to get what they're looking for, and that's more picks.
And that's where we could see the next stage of quarterback, because you've got ahead of the Titans, because it's a snake deal. They've got Cleveland and New York. Kiper did a 2-round mock, and he's got quarterbacks going there at 33 and 34. But take that for what it's worth. Point being, if one of those teams doesn't go quarterback, you could potentially have the Titans that want to do that. I don't see them trying to move up. They need more picks. And look, it's scarce at offensive tackle. Not great at corner. Tight end is too heavy on the top, and then there's the rest. Running back is very deep. And if you get the best of the group after Jenty, maybe that's another position to look at. And wide receiver, they need a lot of spots. I'm not naming all of them right there. They need a lot of spots to fill. I think they have to make a move with that second round pick because they need the value of this draft. If the value of the draft is low at the top, imagine what it's like in the sixth and seventh rounds of this draft. Not good.
Okay, Hutt, would you, because you're right, and Willie has been talking about this, and we all have been talking about this, them having to, especially this year, get back into that third round. And the only way I believe there is a possibility of them getting back in the third round is if they give up Will, they put Will Levis in a package with one of their fifth rounders this year for a third this year, and they're giving up Will Levis a fifth this year and a fifth or sixth next year. Would you take that deal? If someone said, give me Will Levis, one of your fifths, I'll give you my third, and you give me a sixth next year.
I mean, I think it's like Jeffrey Simmons for a third round pick. Like, let's just throw that out there. I mean, Landry wasn't drawing anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, Will Levis.
But you know, once you get into the draft, how desperate teams are for what? Young quarterbacks. And Will Levis is still in that age range where you can, there could still be some development in there.
But who needs who needs Will Levis?
Hey, I can say who doesn't.
If the Titans don't need him, if the Titans are willing to trade
him. It only takes one team.
That's fair, but I mean, every team passed on him 2 years ago.
Including the Titans.
Yeah.
At least once.
You get what I'm saying? Like,
no, I get it.
Look, I think the teams that are hungry for quarterbacks are moving up. Like, what does Pittsburgh do? New Orleans, real quick, New Orleans is in a real interesting spot of this draft. They picked ninth. The reports were in December and January, this is a draft that's going to have 11 to 13 players with legitimate first-round grades in some draft rooms. That's remarkable.
The Saints, by the way, are the betting favorite to land Shedeur Sanders right now.
Okay. See, I think if Shedeur Sanders makes it to number nine, I think the Saints are in a prime spot to trade back a couple of spots because they could still end up with Shedeur because there's a gap between like pick nine and pick 14, 15 where the Falcons are, where you may not see quarterback off the board. And corners should go there. That's a prime spot for New Orleans. Pass rush right there. We're going to see running back potentially with Jenty if Chicago doesn't take him. There are individuals in this draft that are more valuable on the boards than Shedeur Sanders. Point being, they pick ninth. If he makes it past pick nine, Atlanta at 15 is where teams are going to target to move up. The Falcons have they have three picks that are in rounds one through five. Rounds one through six, excuse me. The top six rounds, they have three selections in this draft. They are begging to move back. And if Sanders moves past pick nine, I think that's kind of the range because they want to get ahead of Pittsburgh. But Pittsburgh could move up as well to around that range. New Orleans, though, is in a prime spot to move back and still get the player that they potentially want. And if you the old saying goes, if you want the quarterback, take the quarterback. And they've got a first-time head coach in New Orleans now that would be telling and dictating that. But, again, guys, like, where is Sanders in last year's draft? He's the seventh quarterback, potentially the eighth, because it was Rattler who was the next guy off the board, and it's New Orleans who has Rattler. So, this is a peculiar spot for teams that could potentially be way overdrafting players, where the board is saying, we've got 13 legitimate first-round grades. Sanders isn't one of them. If that's true, Sanders is not one of them. Do you guys agree with that?
Okay. Because I think it's easy to say where he wouldn't have been because he wasn't in that draft. Yeah, didn't think Bo Nix would get drafted that high or Michael Penix.
It's anonymous scouts who are saying this. That's true.
So if Shedeur Sanders is in last year's draft,
yeah,
maybe a team chooses to move up to get in that top 10. Maybe they don't get Michael Penix. Maybe they don't get Bo Nix.
He could go to the Raiders.
Exactly.
The Raiders left out. But he's still the seventh quarterback.
Exactly. But that's why I say, it's hard. It's unfair to say I put him in that draft just with the quarterbacks in regards to the quarterbacks. I'm not talking about the draft in general.
I see what you're saying. I'm just stacking the talent. Like I'm comparing the quarterbacks and where he would go slot wise based on what scouts are saying anonymously.
Okay.
That's all. Bo Nix. Going into the draft last year, I didn't think Bo Nix was a first round pick. There's always a surprise team like Atlanta that drafts Michael Penix Jr.
I don't think I thought McCarthy was a first round pick, at least in my mind.
Not as high as he went.
By the day of the draft, I think you knew he was going to get there, but still.
But six of the top 12 last year. And I think that's indicative of teams knowing what was coming this year, personally. I think that they were grading this year's crop versus waiting another year because teams, like Atlanta saw Penix Jr. and they went ahead and made that or after signing Cousins to that mega deal before he even took a snap. I think we're going to see some surprises. I think the surprise could be Shedeur falls or Jackson Dart is drafted ahead of him, like something crazy like that.
Hmm. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow joining us on D-Maze, Vingan, and Donick as he does every Wednesday. Hutton, great stuff. We'll chat next week.
Hey, always enjoy this, guys. And for the record, I'm assuming that you guys agree that if the head coach and play caller doesn't go to the pro day, that's a sign they're not selecting him.
Pretty much so. I think that's the deal.
I would go for Travis Hunter, by the way.
To quote one of my favorite rom-coms, he's just not that into you.
Basically.
it's a head-scratcher to me. Hey, thank you, guys.
Of course. Jonathan Hutton joining us on the program, 615-737-1025. I do want to pass along a sad note. This was shared during Jonathan Hutton. Ray Shiro, who worked for the Predators front office, has died. He was 62 years old. Ray Shiro, who was an assistant GM for the Predators from 1998 through 2006 before becoming the GM of the Penguins. He was the GM of the Penguins when they won the Stanley Cup in 2009, if I recall correctly.
Correct.
Also was the GM of the New Jersey Devils, had been working currently as a senior advisor to GM Bill Guerin for the Minnesota Wild. The Wild announced 20 minutes ago that Ray Shiro has died at 62.
Oh, that is just terrible news to hear. Ray Shiro, you always remember that first group of people for the Predators, and Ray Shiro was in that group. Of course, his father, Fred Shiro, was famous for coaching Terry Crisp and the Broad Street Bullies teams, the mid-70s. So the Shiro family is like a royal family in hockey for sure. But Ray was an up-and-comer under David Poile, and I learned a lot from Ray Shiro. I'm shocked to hear this. I didn't know anything was wrong or anything like that. So that's a that hits hard right there. I can remember a lot of interviews with Ray Shiro as I was a young broadcaster, really learning the game. And he was tremendous in that role as the understudy, but also watching the game and pointing things out to a new fan base.
So the NHL has announced that Ray Shiro, former Predators assistant GM of the original franchise starting in 1998, worked for the Predators until 2006, went on to be a GM in a couple of other places. Ray Shiro has died at the age of 62. 615-737-1025. As we mentioned with Jonathan Hutton, Albert Breer says it would take a quote-unquote historic offer to move the Titans to trade the number one pick and pass on Cam Ward. What would constitute an historic offer? We will discuss that next. Willie is off to Salt Lake City. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game.